Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive as we talk both local and national sports. And we got a good one lined up for you today. We are going to talk high school basketball. It's going to be here before you know it, November 18th. That's the first game of the year for both Carbon and Emory. Now, we have talked to Coach Jeff Cincinnatus. We are going to talk today to Coach Jared Butler of the Carbon Dinos. He's going to join us over the phone. That's coming up in just a bit. And we have to gear up for the offseason in Major League Baseball. Should be wacky. Should be a lot of fun. As we get, free agency picking up, a couple of big names, and we're going to recap the 2020 season with Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. He'll join us on the show today as well. So we have a lot to get into, both local and nationally. Before we do that, of course, we'll take a look at the national sports headlines, and well, let's begin with the NBA. The Board of Governors and the Players Association are holding separate meetings tomorrow. And hopefully the idea is an agreement on the start of the 2020-21 season, which will be December 22nd, and it's a 72-game schedule, which is shocking to me that it's 72 games. I thought it would take a couple of years for us to get back close to 82 games, especially with the season just ending in October. Now, the Players Association is planning to take a formal vote of the team player representatives tomorrow night, but they believe everything is actually working towards a pre-Christmas start in the season, regardless as to what LeBron James says. And of course, as always, this guy has to be the center of attention, right? His opinion has to be heard. It's just the way it works with this guy. LeBron James being vocal, not quite sure he wants to start December 25th. I think I'm just tired of this guy. I'm sure you are as well. Unless you're one of those LeBron James fanatics, you're probably just as tired of this guy. But the NBA pushed back a deadline to Friday that would basically, it was a deadline to try to get everything figured out as far as the collective bargaining agreement. And this is huge as far as free agency is concerned. You have player options. Anthony Davis of the world champion Lakers. I mean, this is a very big deal towards his contract. If he decides to opt out, if he decides to just play out the final year of his deal, and there's a lot of other players that fall in line with Anthony Davis. So this is a very, very big deal. We'll talk about this a little bit later on in the show as well, but the idea that the NBA would actually start December 22nd, still some things that need to be worked out, but at least that's the way things are progressing, which if you're an NBA fan, I mean, this is fantastic news, right? This is exactly what you want, more NBA basketball immediately. It's odd to be talking November with no NBA talk. It's a little strange to be in that realm. So we'll talk that again. We're going to talk Major League Baseball. We'll talk local high school basketball as well. That's all coming up on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll also give you the local sports recap in just a moment. The swim season starting last night for the Carbon Dinos. The girls, they pick up right where they left off. They're going for that coveted three-peat. That's hard to do. It's hard to win one. It's even more difficult to win two. To win three? I think they got the talent to do it. We'll talk about that in just a moment as well. It's Drive Time Sports, and we're back right after this.
Now, this local Castle Country sports update with Jordan Buscarini from KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with high school swimming. Yesterday, the 2020-2021 season began for the Carbon Dinos as they traveled on the road to Mount Pleasant. The Carbon Boys squad went toe-to-toe with North St. Pete and South Sevier and came out in second place as they accumulated 79 points. North St. Pete won the meet with 117 points, followed by South Sevier with 36. Now the Carbon Lady Dino women's squad, who was looking for their third consecutive state championship, picked up a win as they defeated North St. Pete 150-66. South Sevier did not compete in the girls' event. Now, with last night's meet in the books, Carbon will shift their attention to the Richfield Invitational, which will take place this Saturday. Richfield will play host to a number of schools from throughout the state. Carbon will then travel to Cedar, Uinta, and Moab before finally playing host to a meet on November 24th. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will continue to bring you the results from the Carbon High School swimming squad. Today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll catch up with Carbon High School boys basketball coach Jared Butler. The season is approaching for basketball. In fact, we are just 2 weeks away. On November 18th, the Carbon Dinos will travel on the road to take on the North Sevier Wolves. And then on November 20th, they'll play host to their first home game against Providence Hall. The Dinos will be in year number two under head coach Jared Butler. And again, he'll join us today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports to preview the upcoming season. Also today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll talk offseason Major League Baseball. We'll be joined by former big league pitcher Bill Lasky. He'll join the show to talk about all the hot stove talk as Major League Baseball free agency is now officially underway. And that'll be today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, which begins at 4 p.m. We move over to junior college athletics, and over the weekend, the USU Eastern women's volleyball team traveled on the road to Salt Lake Community College, where they competed in two scrimmages against the Salt Lake Bruins. In the first game of the day, USU Eastern took a little time adjusting to the competition. They suffered a loss in five sets, 3-2. Then the two squads returned to the court later that afternoon, and the Lady Eagles looked to bounce back. Errors prevented that from happening in the first set. However, following an intense break sets, the team came together and created energy to pick up three straight wins to defeat Salt Lake 3-1. USU Eastern will get to play host to Salt Lake Community College for two scrimmages coming up on Friday, November 13th at 9 a.m. and 12 p.m., and that'll be at the BDAC. The following day, on November 14th, the Lady Eagles will host the College of Southern Idaho at 10 a.m. Again, these are non-conference games geared towards the conference season, which is expected to begin in January. You can get the complete recap on the recent scrimmages from the Lady Eagles right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're going to talk high school basketball today on the Coach's Corner. Not too far off. In fact, the winter sports season, it picked up last night. Carbon starting off the swim season on the road, and so now we're going to talk about boys basketball. Returning to the bench this year, second-year head coach Jared Butler, and he's actually joining us over the phone right now. And, Coach, as always, it is a pleasure to get you on the phone, and I appreciate you taking out the time to join us again for another season.
Yeah, no problem, Jordan. Thanks for all you do for us.
Oh, yeah, definitely my pleasure, Coach. And I'll tell you, this year it does have a different feel, like a lot of optimism is surrounding the Carbon basketball program. And, Coach, I think a lot of that has to do with what went down last year. I mean, this was a team that made some big strides, really competed against some very good teams, and now you got a lot of kids that I know tryouts haven't taken place, but a lot of kids that you would expect to return this year. Seems like you got a good group, and this could be a very exciting season.
Yeah, we're excited. We have quite a few that helped out last year that if things go well, that we'll be able to return. And yeah, we're excited, just hoping that we get to play, you know, through all of the COVID stuff. We're excited.
Coach, with that being said, I know that the entire offseason was a little bit different. We talked to Coach Jeff Cincinnatus last week, and he was talking about the protocol when you would leave town and some of the camps that you went to, and as far as making sure that the kids' temperature was checked. Well, this is unlike any other season, any basketball coach. I mean, you were under Coach Jeffs for 35 years. There's nothing. Coach Jeffs was there for 35 years. You were under him for 8 years. There's nothing that you could have learned that could have prepared you for this past off season.
No way. But it was the same for everyone. So, you know, we just don't need that. We were just excited to get to go to a few camps. We had two or three canceled, and that is what it is, but we had a few in, and we've had a 10th-hour advanced PE class where we've been able to see a lot of the kids that are trying out, so that's helped out a lot as well.
Yeah, Coach, as far as some of the preparation, now that you kind of had control of a program for more than a year, I mean, it's got to just be different, right, than taking over a program. Even though you're very familiar with the high school, you're still going in as the basketball coach, almost blind last year. This season gives you a little bit more of an opportunity to get situated and get comfortable. I'm sure that matters.
Yeah, there has to be for sure on that note. It's still, I still feel a little green and everything, but I think I will for a while, and got to go with the great staff that helps, and so I'll rely a lot on them. But, yeah, and it also helps that we should have a lot of juniors and seniors that are going to help the squad, as well as some sophomores, even up to the varsity level. It's really exciting what I've been seeing. So I think we will be able to compete. I'm hoping, obviously, every year a little better than we did last year, but that's obviously our goal. But we do feel a little bit of confidence as we go into the season.
Coach, you mentioned the staff that you have this year. Is it the same as last season?
Yes.
That accounts for a lot. I mean, again, I don't want to keep reverting back to Emory, but it's a program that you're so familiar with, and I've told parents this for a long time. You got to look at the continuity that's been on the bench or on the sideline in any particular sport. I mean, it accounts for so much, and so for you to not make a single change to your coaching staff and you all be back, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, it is, and then I'm learning quite a bit from them, and then they are picking up on some of the sets and offenses and defensive schemes that we are striving to do. And I think it will just continue to go that route as we work together. So,
Coach, we'll talk about tryouts because that's coming up. I know the first game's not that far off, but you have had the offseason to work with a lot of kids that I would presume will be on the team this year. Still, when you approach tryouts, it does bring an element of the unknown. So what do you look for? And I guess ultimately, I mean, if someone slides in that you think can help the team, that's kind of almost like a hidden gem. That's what we can call it, right? Someone that's just the cherry on top. I'm sure you look for that.
Yeah, for sure. I would be very surprised to see that just for the fact that we've had so much court time right now with this advanced BE class. We will have another open gym this afternoon, hoping if there are any that we have not seen. But for the majority of those that are trying to be ball players, I've seen them. As far as the tryouts go, I feel like I am way ahead of than I've ever been in any kind of tryout situation. Just for I don't even know that I'm going to get 10 or 15 other guys trying out that I don't already know of. And in a way, that might be not too beneficial to us as far as. Yeah, that jam or some sleeper kid that comes in that's just a great ringer of a player. But for the most part, I've been able to see. We've been able to scrimmage and shoot, and we've got this little statistic on keeping score, and they've been competing, and the kids are getting after it and hustling, and it's been very exciting to see. And a lot of times with just the three-day or two-day is what we're going to do this year tryout. Sometimes, especially the young freshmen will come in so nervous, you don't really get to see them exactly how. So you hope you see them before, you know, more than that. And this year, I think that's definitely the case. We've been able to see who can really do what, and it's been exciting that way.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Jared Butler of the Carbon Dino Boys basketball team. Again, they'll open up the season on November 18th. Road contest with North Sevier, and live coverage will be on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Coach, as far as trying to get these kids to buy into a mindset, you and I had talked about that so much last year, and it sounds like you have made great strides and big steps into getting the kids to where you want them to perform mentally and physically, which, again, there was a lot of emphasis on that last year.
Yeah, and it will continue to be this year, but that's one thing I have noticed thus far we've had just fierce competition, which is all I can ask for. You know, they are just, I think they're all realizing it, and it's truly a benefit to, you know, three or four of our sophomores, and our whole junior class is just right neck and neck pushing these seniors, and it's a great senior class, and so it's just, it's a battle. And I mean, I have a little bit of a worry as far as, I've never been a part of a team that could be 10 to 12 deep that helps the varsity level. I've watched other coaches, I've watched other programs be successful that way. And I always wonder, how are their parents happy? How does that work? You know, when Jimmy's sitting on the bench and not getting all the time they would wish. But if it can work, and if we can manage it, man, how beneficial will that be, that you're 10 or 12 deep. And this team, in all reality, has that ability this year, which is exciting. And like I said, I've been a part where we've had that, but it's usually you get so comfortable with your six or seven, and that's who takes the majority of the minutes. And maybe it will this year, but it's very exciting to see the kids really just fighting and trying to get all they can get for themselves, and then work together as a team as well.
Coach, we'll talk about the schedule before I let you go, because as I mentioned, North Sevier, that's how the team will start the season, and then right after that, you'll move into Providence Hall, and then a little bit of a break for Thanksgiving. We get back to it in December. It's UNM, Mazer Prep, Delta. I mean, just looking at the non-region schedule, very difficult. I mean, I really like the way you've put it together. It's difficult against teams that we may see down the road.
Yeah, and we tried to work that out, especially two or three from each area, if we could, just for the fact that you can kind of gauge later on. But again, with this newer system, they all count, and we hope that we can, you know, show up ready to roll at the start. We only have, you know, that's why sometimes we do a 3-day trial this year. I'm going to do a 2 because, you know, we have a game that next Wednesday, so it only gives us a few practices, but I'm confident we should be pretty ready for that. That will be a tough game. We played North Sevier earlier in the summer. They have a lot of returners coming back, and they should be a real solid team this year. So it'll be a great test for us.
Yeah, no question. Coach, before I let you go, between now and the start of the season, obviously we have tryouts, but is there anything else that's popping up with the basketball team that's an important date before that November 18th contest?
No, just this afternoon, which is, we have an open gym tonight, but the majority of it is for our ball players to stay healthy and take care of themselves with their grades, and they've all known this, and then when we work together as a team to move forward from there.
Well, Coach, I definitely look forward to more conversations. I'm excited as far as the season is concerned. Should be a great one for Carbon basketball. It's great to have you back on air with us, and I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. Like I said, we really appreciate you.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to move over to the national side of things, free agency in Major League Baseball. Should be interesting. A lot of teams gunning for the World Series champion Dodgers. We're going to talk baseball when we return, and it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live
from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
About a week ago, the Major League Baseball season came to a close as the Los Angeles Dodgers picked up their first World Series championship in 32 years. What an entertaining World Series. Just love that style of baseball. And now, we're preparing for the offseason. We don't have that Gerrit Cole free agent, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of Tier 1 guys out there that can definitely make a difference. We're going to talk hot stove right now with our next guest, Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, now an analyst for the San Francisco Giants, joins us regularly to talk baseball. And Bill, with the World Series done, I mean, I got to get your take on it. We didn't talk to you last week. That was an excellent six-game set, wasn't it?
I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it very well. And I know you and I always talk about the analytics of baseball, and I'm old school. And I think old school won this one because he took Blake Snell out way too early in that game. And I know he's head scratching as well as a lot of the Tampa Bay Ray fans. And that was one of the biggest mistakes I saw in that World Series.
Does something like that affect a franchise come free agency time, or does it matter at all? I mean, we have some guys like Charlie Morton, for instance. He's going to hit the market. Now, I don't know if Morton re-ups in Tampa or not, but, I mean, even aside from Morton, you have some very viable free agent options for the Rays who have a very low payroll. Do they look back as to what Kevin Cash did in the World Series and say, I don't know if I want that situation?
I think it's all about how you feel about the organization, how they have treated you. It was so different in the playoffs and World Series. I thought he should have extended the rope on some of those pitchers, and the bullpen was just overworked. Some of the analytics, like I'm going to keep continuing, they're great information highway, but I always talk about the eyes and how you watch the game and things like that. And on the other side, your question about players. Players are understanding this, too. The players are at a high level when they get to the World Series. Those statistics mean so much when they go to negotiate. And I think that's part of it that a lot of these players get upset about. And you're talking about free agency. We're talking about millions of dollars. We're not talking about the Gerrit Cole money anymore. I think those are going to be one out of maybe 10,000, maybe even more if they get it, because I just think free agency is going to change through COVID-19 with no fans, and I just don't know how many long-term contracts are going to be offered.
Bill, let's look at some of the big free agents out there. And like I said, there is no Gerrit Cole, but that doesn't mean that there isn't anyone out there that can't be a game changer. And I mean, right out of the gate, we'll talk about pitching. Trevor Bauer is a free agent. I believe Trevor Bauer is an ace. I think he's probably a top number two. And if you can find some place where he's a number three, you may have the best pitching rotation in baseball. And I believe that every team is on the table. Trevor Bauer is kind of a different cat. And he has said he only wants one-year deals. This is a guy that wants to bet on himself year in and year out. I don't know if that changes if someone floats $120, $130 million deal at him. But nonetheless, Trevor Bauer, in my mind, could be a big game changer this offseason.
Yeah, and I think you got to look at how he is as a person. Are you going to adapt his personality? Are you going to adapt him going after the commissioner on Twitter and different aspects? But the guy can pitch. The numbers are there. He will probably win the Cy Young Award winner. I can't see anybody in the National League right now that has that number. Hugh Darvish is one, of course. A couple other one come to mind. But he is that top-line pitcher. And I remember when the Dodgers were behind Atlanta, he came out with a tweet saying, if the Dodgers really want a number one pitcher, here I am, or something like that. So he is out there, you know, throwing his name out to several other teams. The Giants came out the other day saying that they wouldn't mind offering him $100 million for 5 years. Well, he's going to get more than $20 million a year, no doubt about it. He is that type of pitcher that can have a franchise walk right to the World Series with. He is that kind of arm. He's that kind of competitor. And I would have to say he is that probably number one free agent in my mind in pitching.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, maybe you could throw Charlie Morton in the same tier with him. I think he's a little bit behind him. And once you get past that, I mean, I think it's a pretty steep drop-off. So if there is a team out there that's looking to bolster their rotation, their starting rotation through free agency, I think the the names are a little more bleak compared to what we've had. If we step aside from the pitching category, we can look at position players. And in my mind right now, JT Realmuto is probably the best two-way star that'll be available. Maybe you could throw George Springer in. I don't know what it looks like for him in Houston. But Bill, I'm a big, big fan of JT Realmuto. The numbers speak for themselves. If it was with Miami or if it was worth with Philadelphia, here's a catcher that can play two-way ball, and that's a rare thing today.
Yeah, and when you look at all the teams given the qualifying offer of 18-5, there was no doubt Philly was going to do that. Houston did it. The Giants did it with Gausman because really they have no starting pitching besides Cueto and Webb here. So, Gausman really did well here last year. A lot of people are shaking their head because he was released a couple of years ago. They signed him as a free agent for only $9 million, and now they're offering him 18-5. But I think pitching is going to be a priority. Your guy right there, the catcher Realmuto, is one of the best, if not the best. And you know what? They have an offer. They have an offer of 18-5. If you want it, here it is. A lot of them might be working multi-deals out. They're talking about Gausman doing a three-year deal, possibly at 10 or 12 a year. A good deal for a guy that's been bouncing around. But at the long run, I think all the qualifying offers, when you see these teams put that 18-5 on them, are probably your top free agents that could go if they don't accept that.
Bill, what is it about the catcher position that you have seen over the last, 10 to 15 years or so? Because really, when you look at the demand on a catcher, it's so heavy across the board. And last year, Yasmani Grandal, it was a guy that spent a lot of time in the National League, had times with the Dodgers, had times with the Brewers, and then he ends up going to Chicago on a big deal. He was one of the top five or six free agents last year. What is it about the catcher position that has made the standouts really stand out compared to everything else?
I think the knowledge of the game, the veteran leadership, how you adapt during the game. Of course, analytics come to mind. They all have the quarterback stats on their arm where they're looking at it all the time. The Buster Posey's, the Molina, who's now a free agent. There's four teams after him, and there's a guy, I think he's 37 years old. I just think the veteran leadership behind the plate is steering so many teams that they want them. And they're even talking about bringing some older catchers in to go behind Posey because Joey Bart was this. He was a good leader, but he just couldn't hit and catch at the same time. A very young catcher out here in San Francisco. But I look at the leadership behind the plate. I go back to my Giants all the time. They lost Buster Posey. He opted out, and that really hurt them down the road. I thought his leadership behind the plate as well in the clubhouse was lacking with the Giants. You look at other ones. I want to know how Molina's not going to be a Cardinal. I thought he would be a Cardinal his whole career. Yankees, of course, want to swoop him up. I just think when you look at the catching, and you got to look at durability, how these guys can do it, how many games can they catch behind the plate, and can they play first base? So I just think the more options you can get out of a veteran catcher, I think that's what every team's looking at.
Again, Bill Lasky, our guest right now as we talk hot stove and Major League Baseball. Bill, let's talk about the World Series champion Dodgers. A few names that may not be back next year. Pedro Baez out of the bullpen. This is a very long-tenured Dodger. Probably doesn't pack the same amount of punch as, say, the likes of a Kike Hernandez or a Jock Peterson or even a Justin Turner. I don't know which direction the Dodgers go. Andrew Friedman's a guy that likes to budget. I know the Dodgers have one of the highest payrolls in baseball, but there are some variables to that. They have a lot of contracts that they have absorbed in trades, such as David Price, right? And so I think when you look at what the Dodgers have, I'm curious as to what they do on free agency, and I'm really curious to see what happens with Justin Turner.
I'm right there with you. I just thought that Justin Turner was a black eye on that old championship, and I question what happened on that Monday, that off day. Was he a positive COVID, and then Tuesday he tested again positive? Why was he in that lineup? Why did they push this game? Because if he was COVID-19 positive, they would have probably had to wait another 7 to 14 days, and I just don't have that answer what MLB did there. It's a big question mark, and I don't think we'll ever find out. Coming back on the field, hugging fans, hugging people like that, I just think that's the normal thing that he would do, and he just probably felt, he might have tested positive. but he didn't feel any ramifications from it. I just wonder what MLB is going to do with him, and I just question to see what the Dodgers are going to do with him. So those are good questions that you and I are definitely going to be talking with about Hot Stove. Baez, I just think Jock Peterson's done. I think Baez has done too. Kiki Hernandez is a great, great find for them, and he's done so much for that organization. I can see him being a Dodger.
You know, the thing about Kike, his bat is okay during the regular season. His glove is fantastic. When you get to the postseason, his bat and his energy matches what his glove does throughout the entire year. That's why Kike is so interesting to me.
It is, and he's that type of player. I mean, some guys, when the lights come on, the playoffs and the World Series, they just get more confident. And when you get confident, you get comfortable. And when you get comfortable, you do things that are natural to you. And he's always been a Giants killer out here. The guy jumps in there every time. I remember when Bumgarner pitched for the Giants, he would always be in there. And sure enough, he'd either a double or a home run off him every time up. And it was just that kind of guy. And I just wonder what the Dodgers are going to do. They may swoop up some of these free agents, too. Don't think they're not looking at some of these hot names that they could possibly. And they have to do a rotation. They have to get another starting pitcher. I think they have to build a rotation. Their bullpen, what are they going to do with Kenley Jansen? Is he going to be their closer next year? That was another possibility. He wasn't coming in those last couple games, no doubt about it.
No, I think that role is past Jansen. I'm going to say that Brusdar Graterol, 24-year-old kid throwing 101, I think that's your closer for the foreseeable future, at least for the Dodgers. It looks like Jansen's time is done. But nonetheless, Bill, I mean, there are some other teams in the National League, specifically the Braves and the Padres. They are behind the Dodgers. And I know Padre fans don't want to hear that. Brave fans don't want to hear that. They are behind the Dodgers. But when you look at it, this is an opportunity if you want to spend some money to catch up, because they have to play catch up. They're not in the same realm right now. They're just not.
100% agreed. 100%. The Padres have made a big jump in the NL West, no doubt about it. Their pitching just wasn't there at the end through injury. You know, picking up a couple starting pitchers, they're also looking on the hunt for some starting pitching. Pitching has always been a question mark down there when they lost Yates, you know, and they go get Rosenthal. Rosenthal did well for him, but in the playoffs, he struggled, and we know that happens with him. So, you know, there's a lot of question marks going around. I mean, free agency's out there. They're testing the waters. They're trying to find out what some of these guys want. And another thing we got to talk about, minor league free agency, over 400 of them. So you know they're going through sand and trying to find that little nugget that they could pull in at a minor league free agents. And a lot of these guys were in the bubble, so you didn't even know how well they played in those scrimmages or time when they were down there. So there is a lot of question marks out there, and you know the analytics are going to be huge when they start looking at guys right-handed, left-handed, who can they play against, who can they pitch against. So these are all things that I know baseball operations around Major League Baseball are thriving to do each day to find that nugget they're looking for.
Bill Lasky, again, former big league pitcher, our guest. Bill, it is always a pleasure to get you on. I look forward to more conversations throughout the offseason. It's a fun time of the year. I'm one of those geeks. I get into winter meetings, and I know you do as well.
I do, and our conversations, I mean, this whole year was fun for us. Even though we only had a 60-game season, there was a lot of good baseball we talked about, and I'm sure your fans there understand baseball when you and I talk, because it's good conversation, and Major League Baseball sure keeps us going with the storytelling and all the different facets of the game. And once again, my friend, we finished up with the LA Dodgers being World Series champs, and again, a great season talking to you.
Yep, I look forward to many more. Bill, thank you so much for the time.
Always, my friend, and be safe.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must. Say it again? Buscarini? All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, Missouri, you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down!
Price, Utah.
Now!
Me and my man, Trav. Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Traverse Anderson on KOAL AM 750, Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news. That's the name of the game.
Let's talk college football to end the show today. We're going to have plenty of time to talk NBA. You know, as the news trickles out, I want to talk college football. Bring in Travis Anderson to do so. Travis, right now, the rankings, the AP rankings have been a little bit up in the air, I think, for the last, since they started. Because at first we didn't have the Big Ten, then we didn't have the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Now we have the Big Ten, we don't have the Pac-12. Top four teams in the country, Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Are you okay with the top four teams, or does the Pac-12 change that at all?
No, I'm okay with the top four. The Pac-12 doesn't change anything for me because they haven't played yet. Which,
even when they play, is there a Pac-12 team? And this is a legitimate question.
Oregon's your only one.
Okay,
you could throw USC in there, I guess.
I'm going to tell you why I can't throw USC in there. And this has nothing to do with what I believe we will see or won't see on the football field. Oregon is number 12 right now in the AP, and that matters.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, they play six games, seven if you count the Pac-12 championship rounds,
nope.
Because they each get that extra round, so they get seven games. Is seven games enough to convince the pollsters that you should climb rapidly 20 spots in the rankings? Is seven games going to be enough? And is a 7-0 Pac-12 champion held in the same regard as an 11-1, 10-1 ACC, SEC champion?
I think in a year like we have now, yeah, probably. I mean, with a pandemic and everything that's going on, I think you have to kind of bend things a little bit to accommodate these so-called Big Ten and Pac-12 schools. It's tough. It's no one's fault that what's going on right now, but...
It is. It's the Pac-12's fault.
Yeah, the Pac-12 kicked their feet around for so long, but I just... They're going to play favorites. If Oregon's up there, it's hard for me to believe that they're not going to cater to an Oregon.
We've seen years where the Pac-12 hasn't gotten a representative, but the big difference this year, Notre Dame's not an independent. Notre Dame's in the ACC, and that does matter, right? Having four playoff spots to five Power Five conferences is a little bit different than having four playoff spots to five Power Five conferences and a legit independent.
Yeah, I only think there's two spots available anyways. I think Clemson's going to lose this week to Notre Dame.
You really think so?
Yeah, Notre Dame will win that game. Clemson's only going to lose the one game. Possibly if they lose two. I think they split. I think Lawrence comes back. I think the ACC title game, maybe Clemson gets them.
It's going to be tough to beat Clemson.
Yeah, Notre Dame's in and Clemson's in. I mean, it's hard. They're not going to keep Clemson out with one loss.
If Notre Dame beats Clemson...
Well, they will.
And runs the table and loses to Clemson in the ACC title game, they better be in the college football playoff. They better be.
Yeah.
Okay? So that means you're taking a Big Ten champion and you're taking an SEC champion. And I do believe that that's where it works against the Big 12. Look, the Big 12 is the Big 12. We saw Oklahoma State. We saw this. I don't need the Big 12 in the college football playoff. I don't. Throw them out. I don't believe... that the Pac-12, and this goes back to the leadership within the conference, and if you're a Ute fan, if you're a Trojan fan, I don't care who you are, you have to agree with me on the lack of leadership that you have seen from the Pac-12 over the last 5 to 6 years. The scheduling has always been ludicrous. It's been ridiculous from the get-go. And the Pac-12's coming back 2 weeks after the Big Ten makes its return. This is 6 weeks after the ACC and the SEC have played games, along with the Big 12, the bottom line is, if the Pac-12 is not represented in the college football playoff, don't be mad at the college football playoff committee. Be mad at Pac-12 commissioner, who is your friend. You love him.
Yeah, he's my guy. He's done such great work for the Pac-12. I mean, he's grown that conference. He's a moron. The TV deal's garbage. The marquee games are on Friday night, which is stupid.
Larry Scott has done his conference favors.
That's why they haven't got to a playoff.
And that's why I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to be real with you. Based on where rankings now matter, okay, because every Power 5 conference but the Pac-12 is playing. And I look at USC at number 20. I don't believe USC winning seven games, especially against the competition that they are pegged to go up against. I don't believe that they climb into the top four in the AP, and while the college football playoff committee doesn't necessarily copy what's happening in the AP, they use it as a gauge. They do. But are you telling me, let's be real here, Arizona State, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, Washington State, UCLA, You're telling me that if USC was to win those six games, they would put them in the top four? There's no way.
They won't.
There's no way. And by the way, that's not going to happen because there's no way Clay Helton's going to navigate this team to an undefeated record. No way. Not this season.
Yeah, that schedule's not... I mean, they should win every game on that schedule.
Yeah, but then you got to get to the Pac-12 championship, and at that point...
They'll lose to Oregon.
I just... It's bad enough having Clay Helton on your sideline, let alone having him on your sideline during a pandemic and in a crazy year. I just don't see it. And Travis, looking at the way things are shaping out for the Pac-12, they would need a miracle. Now, I will say this. Again, I have a lot of people talk to me about BYU, who is now number 9 in the country. They're not a legitimate playoff team. They're not.
Oh, come on, Jordan.
They're not a legitimate playoff
team.
Be
nice.
And the Pac-12 jumping back into action is going to hurt BYU even more.
You mean running up the score on Texas, whoever that was?
Texas Western, State.
And Western Kentucky's not impressive?
Now, again, all the Cougars are doing is playing the schedule that has been placed in front of them. I get it. I understand it. But I'm not going to look at that and say, well, nobody would play BYU, and they wouldn't defeat. I don't care about that. Eye test accounts for a lot, and they haven't beat anyone of any significance. And once you get another Power 5, the final Power 5 conference back, BYU will drop down the rankings. That will happen. I assure you it will happen. BYU, I will be stunned if they're a top 10 team at the end of the season. I would be stunned by that.
What about the end of the week?
Good point. Yeah, good point.
They got a tough. Is it Boise State this week?
But I don't even care about. I don't even care about
and
that.
With the, even I don't even know who they play this week. But even with the teams coming back by the new poll starting Monday, whenever it comes out, they will not be in the top nine.
You
top
were
10.
Right. They play Boise State, who's a ranked team, and no. It's on the road. So you know. But if Oregon looks impressive, I have to believe that Oregon climbs into the top 10.
Yeah.
And if I look at the top 10, barring no, because look, Notre Dame or Clemson, either one of those two teams can lose. They're not falling out of the top 10. It's not happening, right? So
no.
Whoever, eventually BYU falls out. You think they beat Boise State this week? Number 21 versus number 9. One of the biggest games Boise State's had in a while. Who wins that game?
I will take Boise State.
Yes.
I don't feel good about it.
Look, Zach Wilson.
That's why I kind of want to lean towards maybe BYU.
Because
Zach
of what
Wilson.
They have in Zach Wilson?
I'll take BYU, or not BYU, but Boise State because it's on the road.
Okay, if BYU beats number 21 Boise State, I think you could probably throw out the argument that BYU doesn't deserve to be in the top 15. And I've had people tell me that. And I believe they do deserve to be in the top 15 just based on what they've accomplished that's been placed in front of them. What I'm saying is they're not a legitimate playoff team. And even if they beat number 21, that doesn't move the needle enough for me to say, okay, this is a top four team. It just doesn't. We'll talk more college football later on in the week. Utah Ute football making its return this weekend. The Utes and Arizona. Go and get it Saturday afternoon, 1:30 start time. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Busker. Ready to be safe. We're out.